Man, I still get nervous. I don't know about y'all. Pastor Mac, you still get nervous sometimes when you got to? Okay, as long as it's not just me, all right. Oh, man, I just want to, before I start again, thank you, Pastor Dwayne, Pastor Mac and Counter Life for allowing me to come up and bring the word this morning. Just talking about the rain again. I mean, people who listen to WGTS know the song Let It Rain by Crowder. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that song is awesome because it goes right into what we're talking about today, just about God's sovereignty. And in the song, he says, the same God who brings the sunshine is the same God who brings the rain. We forget that. We love the sunshine, but the rain isn't, that's not God. Like, he's not in control. It's the same God. And then he also says that, you know, you're God and I am not in that song. He's like, whatever your will is, Lord, it's going to happen. So the same God who does that, it's also the same God who brings all the blessings that we praise him for. It's the same God when things aren't going the way we want them to. It's the same God, and he's in control of all of those things. Just wanted to remind you of that. And before I start, I really want to acknowledge my wife. She doesn't know this coming, but she's awesome. Just want to let y'all know that. If y'all didn't know that, I just want to give y'all a quick time frame. This time last year, I'm a little close. This time last year, she was moving from North Carolina with Aaliyah, and we weren't even married yet. And let alone her fiance was in college still, playing college football, so she was moving on faith. She didn't have a job, nothing. She did all that, you know, because she loved me. And trusted me, which is kind of crazy, but she did. But now, this time, like last week, she's a health coach. And she's just starting in this, you know, health coaching business, but there are people who are higher above her. So let's say like this, you know, people who are been doing this for a long time are hosting a conference, and they had two open slots, and they invited her to go. So I just want to, she's been working really hard. Yeah. She's been working really hard, and I'm proud of you for all the work you put in. I watched you do it from the time we got here to now. God has been faithful to us as a family, and I can't wait to see what he does moving forward. So let's pray, and we'll get into the message. Lord, I'm just thankful to be here on another Sunday, regardless of the weather, regardless of what's going on in my life or anybody else's life here. We're in your presence, and nothing else matters. We're glad to be here, Lord, in your house. Today, may your word come out. May you move me out of the way. It's not about me, but it's about the word in which you bring forth, Lord. So may those who have ears to hear, may they hear, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So today we are continuing in Fearless. And when I was, you know, I always kind of do the message sometimes. I can't really think of the title or anything like that. And all of a sudden, God does something. And he's kind of funny. So this next slide kind of gives you an idea of what we're going to be talking about. Can y'all tell me who that is? What's the show? And what's the catchphrase?
What are you talking about, Willis?
So when I thought about God's sovereignty and I thought about Gideon last week when he was in that wine press and God said, mighty warrior.
What are you talking about, God?
You know, like that's what I thought of. That same face, because I make that face sometimes when he like, this is what I need you to do. And you're like, I don't know about that. Right? So when I was thinking about that, this is what we're talking about today. We're talking about God's sovereignty, and we're going to be coming from the book of Judges, continuing Judges 7. So you can turn to Judges 7, verses 1 through 18. So here we go. It's on the screen if you don't have your Bible, but I hear pages turning, which I love. Pages are turning. So Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and his army got up early and went as far as the spring of Herod. The armies of Midian were camped north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. Therefore tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid may leave this mountain and go home. So 22,000 of them went home, leaving only 10,000 who are willing to fight. But the Lord told Gideon, there are still too many. Bring them down to the spring, and I will test them to determine who will go with you and who will not. When Gideon took his warriors down to the water, the Lord told him, divide the men into two groups. In one group, put all those who cup water in their hands and lap it up with their tongues like dogs. In the other group, put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream. Only 300 of the men drank from their hands. All the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream. The Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send the others home. So Gideon collected the provisions and ram's horns of the other warriors and sent them home, but he kept the 300 men with him. The Midianite camp was in the valley below, just below Gideon. The night the Lord said, get up, go down into the Midianite camp, for I have given you victory over them. But if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Porah, listen to what the Midianites are saying, and you will be greatly encouraged. Then you will be eager to attack. So Gideon took Porah and went down to the edge of the enemy camp. The armies of Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east had settled in the valley like a swarm of locusts. The camels were like grains of sand on the seashore, too many to count. Gideon crept up just as a man was telling his companion about a dream. The man said, I had a dream, and in my dream, a loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midianite camp. It hit a tent, turned it over, and knocked it flat. His companion answered, your dream can only mean one thing. God has given Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite victory over Midian and all its allies. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed down and worshiped before the Lord. Then he returned to the Israelite camp and shouted, get up, for the Lord has given you victory over the Midianite hordes. He divided the 300 men into three groups and gave each man a ram's horn and a clay jar with a torch in it. Then he said to them, keep your eyes on me. When I come to the edge of the camp, do just as I do. As soon as I and those with me blow the ram's horns, blow your horns too, all around the entire camp and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. All right? So the first point I want to acknowledge here is this. God does everything for his glory. Okay? Everything. Let's go back to verse 2 where it says, the Lord says to Gideon, you have too many warriors with you. If I let you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves. That they saved themselves by their own strength. One more time. You have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. Right? So let's talk about God does everything for his glory. Let's think about it here. Let's think about some things. Let's think about the temple of God was built for God's glory. In the Old Testament, the temple was this beautiful build that held that glory, and people came to see that. That was a big deal in the Old Testament, right? Let's talk about Jesus in the garden when he says, in John 17, when he says, glorify your son so that your son might glorify you. So that's another one. Then you got the plagues, and with Moses, the whole point of the plagues was so that God got glory from that, and so that everyone knew who God was. Let's talk about the heavens. In Psalms 19, I believe it says, the heavens display God's glory. In the skies, his craftsmanship. Let's talk about the blind man where they say, Lord, why is this man born blind? Because of his parents' sins? No, it's so that the glory of God can be shown through him. And let's talk about us. He said that he made us, in Isaiah 43, for his glory. Everything God does is for his glory. Now this can, you know, so that's, I'm saved for God's glory. My car is for God's glory. My house, my success, everything. Some people say, well, isn't that selfish of God? Not really. I don't think so. Because how, let me slow down again. Woo, all right. And also, we know that the last day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord anyway. So he's going to get it. He's going to get his due, right? And why should our lives be different? Why should we say, that's not right? I want a little bit of glory, God. It happens sometimes, though. You know, sometimes you want to be acknowledged for the things you do, but at the end of the day, the mindset is God. You know, I just had my wife tell me the other day, it's not your money anyway. I said, you're right. I'm mad about some money. It's not your money. Well, just shut me up right there. And that's the truth, though. Right? And is that such a bad thing? Is it a bad thing that my life, everything in my life and everything around me, everything God made is for his own glory? That's a pretty cool world, if you ask me. Just imagine if everybody would thought that and acknowledged that I want to do everything for God's glory, how this world would look. Everybody will be on one accord with God. We'll be looking to praise him in everything that we did, we said. And as believers, we have to be having this mindset. We have to get the selfish part out. It's not about me. It's about his glory. So all my decisions and actions need to be about God's glory. And he does everything in your life. Remember that. That he does everything in your life for his glory. So don't, it's not about you. And you've seen, he just said, I'm not going to let y'all win this battle and think. Don't even think y'all did it by yourself. So why ain't just make this easy for him? Why can't I just get the degree and do the six-figure thing? Because you're going to think you're smart, and you're going to think you this, and you got the money, and you're going to drive the Porsche, and you're going to forget that I'm the one who gave you that in the first place. So if he has to humble me, that's fine, so that he can get the glory, all right? The next point we wanted to make here is this. God desires to use the dedicated. Okay, let's look at verse 4 through 6 here. But the Lord told Gideon, there are still too many. Bring them down to the spring, and I will test them to determine who will go with you and who will not. When Gideon took his warriors down to the water, the Lord told him, divide the men into two groups. In one group, put all those who cup water in their hands and lap it up with their tongues like dogs. In the other group, put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream. Only 300 of them drink from their hands, and the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream. Why was this so important? That's a weird test, but why would God do that? Check this out. So, if I'm on my knee and I put my head down into the water, I can't see anything. So here's this, I'm thirsty, I'm tired, water, I'm just all in. But if I lap it from my hands, I can still see the things that are going on around me. That wasn't just an army tactic. That wasn't just something that God was like, I need you to roll with some warriors that if something happens, they got eyes in the back of their head and they're going to save your life. But also, I want them to be dedicated to me. Same thing with our lives, right? Let's think about this. Let's not succumb to every good thing placed in front of us. So when I'm tired and this and that, and here's an opportunity for me to have something, do I just go all in and forget about everything else around me? Do I just go all in and say, forget about that? That's a test from God. Isaac was a gift from God. Here's the gift. And as soon as God told Abraham, he could have just been like, you know what, God, forget that. He's like, this is my son. I'm going to hold on tight to my son. But even Abraham he drank the water from his hands. Because he was still, okay, I have the gift and God gave it to me, but I'm still going to keep my eyes up. Just in case something comes my way. Just in case I'm missing something. Just in case this might not be all that I need. Let's think about Navy SEALs training. If y'all have ever seen any documentaries or anything about Navy SEALs training, it's absolutely crazy. But by the time they get done with it, they only want to take the people who completed the training with them. They're only going to take the people who endured all of that stuff because it's by the time they're done with that stuff, like they tread water for like hours with things over their head. I can't tread water at all. They're doing these things. They're running miles. They're doing things in the dark where they can't see and they just have to map out and use their. I can't do any of that. But by the time they were done, they have a brotherhood. They have a group of guys who've been through this training and they all came out on the other side. Now they're going through battle together. That's what this army of believers is like. That's what the church is like. We are all equipped. We're training. We're going through these things together. And when we're outside, we have to be able to look to the left and the right and know that we got people by us who are truly dedicated to God in the fight, right? I'm going to use myself as an example here. You guys know that I recently got funded to work at the University of Maryland for FCA. Not even a month after that, I go to a camp to serve in North Carolina. And one of the leaders of that area comes up to me and says, Shep, at this time I didn't have access to Coach Loxley and the team yet. I was just on campus. He comes up to me and says, Shep, I want to offer you a position at ECU as the football chaplain. All access, all the gear, pay raise, your wife taken care of, we got everything covered. You don't have to raise your money. We got boosters for you that'll do that for you. Just show up and coach and the boosters will raise your money. Again, I love my wife because I called her. She was like, that sounds a little fishy. And I'm like, is she? Thank God that she's laughing water from, you know, my head is all in the stream. But thank God, because I had my partners, I had my wife, I had Pastor Dwayne, I had my boss, and I had another brother discipling me from Virginia Tech saying, no, 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 and no. So when that happened, I was like, come on. You know how much, you know what you can get in a house in North Carolina? Here I am, like, we're going to have more money, we're going to be good, you ain't got to worry about nothing, I got you. No, it didn't work out, right? But let me tell you, I just found out last week that position wasn't available to give. They brought another brother down there without a position. So he's there, has nothing to do. He moved his family. And here I am. Like, praise God, though. You see, that's how he works. You put your, this is exactly what this is. He's like, here it comes. You're where I want you to be. You're right where I need you to be, and here comes all these other things. Here comes another opportunity, or here comes this. And it's not exactly where God called you to be, but you might just say, well, I can glorify God and still do this. But it's not where God wants you to be. He's desiring to use you. And let me tell you, a week after I said no to the job, full access. Coach Loxley called me in his office and said, Shep, I want you to be around my guys. He threw me a bag of clothes. Here's your swag bag. I'm like, what is that? But all of that stuff happened a week apart. And then I just found out, man, that's just amazing. It's just amazing. That just shows you how God is sovereign and how things, he desires to use the dedicated. Remember that. All right, the next point here is this. God operates in the impossible. He operates in the impossible. Verse 7, the Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send all the others home. Up here it says that he had 32,000 people with him to start. And God said, 300. This is before the movie came out. So this is the first 300, right? That's impossible. If you were a betting man or woman, and you said 350,000, who gonna win that battle? 50,000. So now we're looking at God like, you're killing me. First you tell me I'm a mighty warrior. Then you tell me to go down and take these men. And you told me, I think it's funny too how he says that. He says that if anyone's timid or afraid, leave this mountain. And 22,000 of them left. So at least they was honest. You know what, brother? I'm scared. Then he left with 10,000 brave ones. But anyway, just God is in complete control, and he wants to operate in that. That's where God is most comfortable. He is most comfortable in the impossible. And the possible to us is silly to him, really. What's impossible to God is silly to us. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1, 27 through 29, and I want to read something here to you guys. Didn't mark my Bible up, so here we go. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considered foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. Right? So let's think about that. Right then and there, he's using things that we can't even fathom. Silly stuff. Things that people just don't even, that's why you see people in the kingdom of God that don't have any qualifications for what they're doing, but they're doing it somehow. If you can't find anybody in your life, look at the Bible. All the people we talk, Gideon isn't a warrior. We saw what he was doing. David was a shepherd. Abraham was old. Moses stuttered and was a murderer. Mary was a teenager. Peter was a fisherman. Paul hated God. So this goes on and on. So he's going to use those things, and that's where he works best, right? And also, I thought this was crazy, too. If you read 2 Chronicles 24:1, how many of y'all know who Joash is? Joash was 7 years old. Joash was 7 years old when he became king and reigned in Jerusalem for 40 years. God chose a seven-year-old to be king of Israel. My daughter's six. If she was president of the United States, it's no telling what would be going on. Who knows? Glitter everywhere. Everything is glitter and pink. And we're eating cake and ice cream. All the vegetables are gone. Seven-year-old Joash. But you can only find stuff like this in the Bible. And it didn't say he reigned for 40 years. So at 7 years old, here's this kid with God's wisdom imparted in him to do what that doesn't make any sense. This is examples of God operating in the impossible, right? And again, I love movies. So I have a clip next up from Remember the Titans. How many people seen Remember the Titans? I know she didn't know this was in there. But there's a part in the story where Rev gets hurt, the quarterback, and Ronnie Bass, the backup, comes in. And all through camp, he can't make this pitch when they're running the veer. He can't make the pitch. Rev gets hurt, and he looks at Coach and says, Coach, he says, I can't make that pitch, Coach. And we're going to see what Coach Boone has to say about that in the video that we have.
All right, quit gawking. Warm up. Tyler.
Coach.
Shut him up. Hard.
Hey! Omaha, that's Omaha. Yeah, Omaha.
Song's over, Sambo.
What happened, Plastic?
I audible. Rev, I swear to God, I audible.
I didn't hear.
All right, fellas, coming through.
Swear to God.
Just take a look at that, son.
He broke a bone in the wrist. He won't be throwing any more this season.
You got 1 minute, Coach.
Take the other town out, Coach.
Ronnie Bass!
Coach, Bass going back in, man.
Not a quarterback, son.
I can make that pitch, Coach.
Yes, you can.
When I was 15 years old, I lost my mother and my father in the same month, Ronnie. Same month. 12 brothers and sisters, I was the youngest one, but they were all looking up to me. Now, I wasn't ready yet either, but they needed me. Your team needs you tonight. You're the colonel. You're going to command your troops tonight. You understand? Twins right, 48-0 read.
Let's go.
Let's go. What's the matter? Haven't you ever seen a football interview before, you wimps? Let's go. Show some life in those legs. I got it. It's going to be all right. Butts, you release this time. Louis, let him through, all right?
What?
Just let him through. Trust me.
You had 12 brothers and sisters?
8.
Yeah, 12 sounds better.
Kidding me, Coach?
Yeah!
Game ball. Ronnie Bass.
I love that clip. It's one of my favorite movies. But I use this stuff because I deal with athletes. So let's put it all together in perspective. Okay, so Gideon is in the wine press, Sunshine on the bench, right? He's in the wine press. All of a sudden, the quarterback gets hurt, and God, Denzel, calls him into action. First thing he says is, "Rev going in, back. He going in, right? I can't make that pitch, coach." Gideon, last week, we see that. Denzel gives him the motivational speech, God telling him, mighty warrior, who you are, trust in me, believe in me, you can do this with my help. After that, he goes into the game and his demeanor changes. He just went from, I can't make that pitch, to let him through. And then he goes on to be successful and lead his team to a win. If you were to ask that team beforehand, if Sunshine plays, do we have a chance to beat Groveton? No. But God operates in the impossible. That's just an illustration of that in your life. So you may be on the bench. You may not know what God's going to tell you to get up and make the pitch. Could be, I don't know what it's going to be. And it may be impossible to you. But with him, all you got to do is check in. Just go in there and trust that everything's going to be all right. Okay, everything's going to be good. Don't worry about it. Just like Gideon. So Gideon was about to discover, this is a quote from David Jeremiah. Gideon was about to discover that 300 with God is far more than 32,000 without him. Human limitations always point to his unlimited power. I don't want 32,000 without God anyway. I don't want any of that other stuff without God. Human limitations, what I can't do is great. Praise God, I can't do it because now he is and he's going to get glory from it. And there's no way that I can even utter with my mouth that I did it because I can't. There's no way. How am I going to do it? I can't. That's where we have to get to. That's where God operates. So when you're on the floor, God, how am I going to do this? Praise God because he's about to do it. That's where he wants us to be, right before him in complete dependence. All right? Let's keep on moving here. So the next point is this. It's a little long. But God will aid you in, but never excuse you from your calling. One more time. God will aid you in, but never excuse you from your calling. Verse 9 says this. That night the Lord said, get up, go down into the Midianite camp, for I have given you victory over them. But if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Porah. Listen to what the Midianites are saying, and you will be greatly encouraged. Then you will be eager to attack. So Gideon took Porah and went down to the edge of the enemy camp. The armies of Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east had settled in the valley like a swarm of locusts. Their camels were like grains of sand on the seashore, too many to count. Gideon crept up just as the man was telling his companion about the dream. The man said, I had this dream, and in my dream a loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midianite camp. It hit a tent, turned it over, and knocked it flat. His companion answered, your dream can only mean one thing. God has given Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite, victory over Midian and all his allies. All right, so God knows you better than anybody else. He knew Gideon was soft, punk-ish, you know. He knew that. He knows me, and I'm terrified about this. He was in the wine press. He knows you. He knows who you are. So you notice he says that I got you. That's what he says. Get up. Go down to Midian, to the Midianite camp, for I have given you victory over them. That should be enough. It should be. If I could hear God say, do this, you don't got to worry about it, I would take off. But even in that, maybe I say that now, but even in that, God kind of throws something in there. He says that, but if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant, listen to what they're saying, and then you will be greatly encouraged, and I promise you, you'll want to attack them. So he can give you the battle, but you still have to show up. He can give you everything you need, but you still got to step out there. What good is it to have on all the equipment, all the shoulder pads, helmet, knee pad, cleats, but you're in the tunnel and never run out to play the game? He has given you something to do. And he's blessed it. You've asked and he's blessed it. You've asked and he's blessed it. You've asked and he's blessed it, but you're still standing still. At this point, you're in your own way, right? You still got to show up. And like I said, God knows this better than anyone. Think of it like a tailor-made suit. It fits you or tailor-made anything. You got a tailor-made calling on your life. It's made just for you, and it's going to fit just right. But in order to, even if I got the flyest suit in the world, if I don't put it on, I can't wear it. You got to put it on, right? So that's the, and the thing is, he's going to make it plain. Again, going back to last summer, we going to serve in D.C. for Widow's Pantry. I'm riding with Pastor Dwayne. On the way back, I'm telling him about this opportunity I got. I haven't even decided what I want to do with my life yet besides marry heaven. That's all I knew. I was like, I got a GA position lined up at Concord University, my alma mater, where they would pay for me to go to school for 2 years. They would give me money for my rent, and we'd be good. So all we had to do is heaven would work, and we would take care of our other expenses that way because rent would be paid for. And he was like, again, God is wise. He was like, man, that's sweet. That's like, you know, Pastor Wayne, he's like, that's unbelievable. Like, I can't get over that, man. That's sweet. Like, he kept telling me that on the way back, and I'm like, let me call Coach to make sure that this is really what. Call Coach. Sorry, Shep. You told me this. Right? Okay. Next one. I can preach. Let me do that. Nobody's looking for a 24-year-old head pastor. Don't happen. Arrogance of me, right? I got to have a little gray in my beard first. I don't have a seminary degree. I'm like, but I know I can read. So I'm looking at qualifications, and I'm like, I don't have none of that. At least 20 years, I'm 24. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm like, that was out the window, right? And I'm like, maybe I should play. Maybe I should try to pursue the NFL, right? Let me do that. Let me tell you how crazy this is. For those who know, you know, about the game, I was a punt returner. It was one of my favorite things to do in the game. Last year, I averaged 19 yards of punt return. 19. They say if you get 10 yards, that's excellent, right? So I was averaging 19. There were two other guys, I'm telling you, two other guys in West Virginia in my conference that averaged 20 and 21. We were 1, 2, 3 in the nation. Any other year, I would have been the best punt returner in the country and all American. I promise you. Last year, these two guys came out of nowhere and decided they wanted to have better averages than me. So I didn't even make first team all conference because these guys were ahead of me by 2 yards. So 1 and 2, and then here I am, honorable mention. That's impossible. And if I'm a D1, if I'm a D2 All-American, I'm the best punt returner in the country, somebody gonna call my phone. Didn't happen. Why is that? Could I play? Yes, but God's like, not this year, buddy. So now only thing that's left, I'm like, NFL? No. Pastor? Absolutely not. Coach? No. FCA? Everything's out the way. It's only one door now. And I could have sat back and be like, I ain't going through that door. But I did. Best decision I ever made. He will make it plain to you. I was stressing out. Ask him. I was stressing out. And that's what he would tell me. He's going to make it plain, Shep. He's going to make it plain. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. He's going to make it plain. And I'm like, it's not plain yet. But then he made it plain, and now I get it. Hindsight, I get it. So he's going to tell you, go down to that camp, listen, hear what they got to say, go. But you still got to go. You still got to do it. So he's going to make it easy for you. You still got to go. All right? So the next point here. What do you do when you experience God's sovereignty? Now, this is a challenge part. This is the challenge part for all of us. So let's go to verses 15 through 18. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed in worship before the Lord. Then he returned to the Israelite camp and shouted, "Get up, For the Lord has given you victory over the Midianite hordes. He's divided the 300 men into three groups. He divided the 300 men into three groups and gave each man a ram's horn and a clay jar with a torch in it. Then he said to them, keep your eyes on me. When I come to the edge of the camp, do just as I do. As soon as I and those with me blow the ram's horns, blow your horns too, all around the entire camp, and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. Let's think about it. The first thing he did, so when he heard it, let's look at it. When he heard the dream's interpretation, it says that he bowed down in worship before the Lord. What's the first thing he did? He worshiped. So what do you do when you hear God, when you see God's sovereignty in your life? First thing you should do is bow down and worship. Because you saw a mighty move of God in your life. You saw his hand as close as you can get. Now you've seen it in your life, right? And I read the Old Testament, and if you read the Old Testament, every time something happens, they were planting trees and stuff. I'm like, why is he planting another tree? Didn't get it. But every time they did something like that, and also they placed stones and things, why are they doing that? But it said so that the generation after me and after us can know that this very spot is where God moved. So they, and you plant a tree, the tree's not going anywhere. So for years to come, we probably can go back and that tree is still there. And they called it something. They called it glory of God, or they called it the mighty this, they called it. So I'm asking you now, when you can worship me, we're not plant trees, but you can sure write down the things that God has done for you in your life. You can write down the memorials that he has for you in your life, right? I want to read, I made myself convicted last night. That happens sometimes, but when I started doing this last year, so I would put in my phone the date and what God did that day. So I'm going to read to y'all an entry that I had from May 9th in 2019. I said, today is the day that we became fully funded FCA staff at UMD. It has been an incredible journey through the fundraising process. With God, all things are possible. He won't fail you unless you're out of his will, of course. I can't even describe the feeling, but God did these things right on time. We got funded right before the deadline, in which the deadline was the 10th. This is the 9th. We got funded. I said, and also, like I just said, the program that Heaven Now is health coaching for, she started because of that the next month, and now she's going to a conference. It's ridiculous. I said, it's just been crazy. I said, thank you, God, for keeping us these past 5 months. We haven't needed anything at all. You supplied it all. I wrote that, and I'm like, in that moment when you are filled, and that when he does it, write it down. Record yourself so you can hear yourself when you're not feeling it. I read that last night like, boy, you was on fire. It's the truth. And you can go back and read it to your kids. And you can show your friends, well, what God done for you lately? Well, let me pull it up. How do you explain this? What memorials are you leaving behind for your kids, for your family, for your friends that are not saved? What are they seeing in your life? What tree do you have planted right here? What stones are you have right here? Or what do you have to show that this is who God has been faithful to me in my life? You worship in that moment, but don't forget it. Don't forget it. Continuously do that. Write it down. Record yourself. Do a vlog, a video entry, a log, whatever you got to do. But make sure you do that, because I'm telling you, he doesn't want us to forget about his sovereignty and the things he's done for us. He doesn't want us to forget those things. But we too often forget with all the stuff we got going on. Then we face the next situation. We look just like the Israelites in the desert. Can we just go back? We don't got no food. All right, the birds were cool, but we ain't got nothing to drink. This manna getting old. But when you got the manna, and when you were starving, it was a vanilla wafer. Now it's stale, and it don't taste as good. But if you can capture that feeling you had when you first tasted it and put it somewhere, go back and read it, and all of a sudden you'll feel a lot better about the situation you're in right now. Remember that. So when God shows his sovereignty, when he places that right hand in your life, get on your knees and worship him, and then tell about it. Write it to yourself and then tell everybody you know about it. Right? The next thing he did after he worshiped was he began to lead. He led. After that, it says he worshiped, and then after that, he returned to Israelite camp and shouted. He came back on he came back on fire. Get up! Like, just imagine that. You know how, like, you get some good news that don't nobody know yet, and you like, what y'all on the ground for? Get up! The Lord has given you victory over the Midianite horde. They were like, you was just, like, you didn't know an hour ago. But now he did. So he didn't just worship and keep it to himself. He worshiped, but it also, something triggered in his brain to start changing his actions. The hand of God doesn't just, it's not just, whoo, praise you, Lord, fall out. No. Praise him. Sure, give him his due. But now, do something about it. Because he's moved. Now he's shown you. Now he's saying, okay, I've moved. Now you move. Right? He got up and he did his thing. He led them out. And then he divided them up and he did his things. And then look what he said in 17. I mean, he then got real confident all of a sudden. Keep your eyes on me. When I come to the edge of the camp, do just as I do. Like, look at that. When you see God's hand, you become real confident. You can't stop me now. You really can't. Because now I know for sure this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I know for sure this is what God has for me. You can't tell me a thing. Get on the train, we're going. If you don't want to go, you don't got to go. But we're going. That's where he's at. He like, keep your eyes on me. Do as I do. Raise your hand if you would tell somebody to do just as I do. I wouldn't. Sometimes I don't. But when I'm confident in what I'm doing, follow me. Believe it. We're going to do it. Don't worry about it. I got you. We're good. Right? You know, God, amen. God got it. He's in control at all times. Remember that. So if he's giving you the green light, nobody else can tell you to stop you. Nobody else can tell you that you can't do whatever it is that God designed for you to do in that moment, right? The next thing he did was he never looked back. For the rest of his life, if you keep reading down until he passed away, which I think is in verse 8 or 9, he was never the same again. He didn't go back to being timid old Gideon. That leader that you see right there, I'm not going to jump into next week, but that leader you see right there stayed the same leader all the way until he died. He no longer went, I'm going to be brave and then something's going to happen to me and I'm going to go back in my shell. No. He didn't look back. He kept going forward and he kept on leading because he knew God was with him and what he was doing. So once he's in your calling with you, it's no need for you to stop and look to the side or look back and say, oh, I left all that money back there, or I left all this on the side, or I left all this over here. Just keep moving forward and know that by the time you're done, whatever it is, you're leaving. You're glorifying God and you're leaving a legacy for whoever it is, whether it be financially, whether it be spiritually, whatever it is, God's going to bless you in that. He blesses obedience. Y'all know that by now. He blesses obedience. Everybody here got a testimony. If I stepped out on faith, didn't have nothing, but it worked out. We can live like that every day. It's just hard as humans. We're emotional, and we get frightened, and we get scared, and we don't want to. But if he's called you to it, you have no fear. You don't have a reason to fear at all. All right? I'm talking to myself, too, because I be scared sometimes about a lot of stuff, just tripping out. And it takes me about an hour to get back right. So, and I'll tell you, my wife is good because she's always telling me, encouraging me. I'm like, but no. But no, like, I'm always got an answer. And I need to tell myself, he's got it. So tell yourself that, right? And my next thing, my next question to you guys is, when he does do this, when he shows his hand, when he does all these things, you experience his sovereignty, do you ask for more? Do you say, like, what was it when he said, well, what if it's just 50? Then he went 40, then 30, then 20, 10. All right, one person, would you say, Do you lay down a fleece more than once? You throw out the fleece, and God just, boom. And you're like, let me test you again. And then you're so calculated the whole time, and you're scared to move, but he's continuously showing you. People will tell you stuff. Again, I'm going to be as transparent as possible. Like, there's an opportunity for me to make a lot of money doing something else. Right? I'm not going to mention what it is. But last week, I went to Marvin's house for dinner, and Marvin said, I'll never take a job for money again. I said, you got to be kidding me. He had no clue I was thinking about that. He said, I'll never take a job just because of money. I'll never take a job that keeps me away from my family for a long periods of time. And here I am like, but it's a lot of money. What more do you want to ask for? I prayed about it. God, is this right? He's not going to tell me, but he's going to open Marvin's mouth. And Marvin's going to tell me something. And I'm like, he didn't even know. And I went back and told my wife. I was like, he ain't even. Well, I guess I can't do that. You know, like, and that's the thing. Here I am. Well, y'all heard me just talk about how God blessed me. But even me, human, is still like, ooh, money. You know, like, my head is all in the water again. This time, it happened a little bit quicker. I didn't have to ponder for months. That time, it was a day. But I pray that it gets to the point where God can be like a million. If he not in it, I'm going straight. It can be a house on the hills. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Which one? Straight. I want to get to that point. So do you ask for more? When he's told you, you pray about it, and you say, God, what do you want me to do? And he does something miraculous. Do you say, all right, that was cool, but what's the next thing you got for me? Or do you just go? It felt good. I know it felt good to finally submit that letter of resignation. You wrote it up. But how's it? It feels good to lean on him. It feels good. When I say feel good, I don't mean like it feels like you just are always, because sometimes it's hard. Sometimes, like you said, that first check came and you was like, they prorated my first check. I had no clue what that meant. This is my first job. I'm like, this is a mistake. They was like, well, Chef, you didn't work the whole month, but I just fundraised for 8. Where the whole check at? But even in that month, didn't need anything. Didn't need a thing. It's redundant, but he's going to take care of you, right? So here's my challenge. You've known what it is for a while. Everybody in here has known for a while what it is that God's called you to do. What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? What is it? It's something. It doesn't have to be a job. I'm not telling everybody in here to go raise money and be a missionary. That's not for everybody. I'm not going to do that. But it could be somebody that you're supposed to talk to. It could be a neighbor or a friend. It could be a family member. It could be anybody that you're supposed to talk to. But you keep saying, I'll talk to him tomorrow. It's not the right time for me to talk to him. Are they eating lunch? Or are they mad today? But he's telling you, what happens if that person goes home and gets in a car crash? And you never see them again. And God's like, I want you to talk to him. So whatever he's calling you to do, don't wait anymore. Don't delay. And if it's radical, praise God. I don't want to do anything that I can do on my own anyway. What good is that? To say that, you know, I can do it. I did it. And it's great. I'm a Christian, but I did this on my own. You know, there's a Sha Lin is an old Christian rapper, older guy. Not old, but he started it. He was 2000s when I wasn't listening to Christian rap. But he's still rapping the same way. And he's still going in for Jesus. Y'all ever listen to Sha Lin, you know that he's rapping just about the glory of God, and he doesn't really like what's going on today in the rap, with the Christian rap. But he has a track on one of his newer albums from 2017 where this guy comes in and he's trying to battle rap him. And he's rapping. He says, I'm a Christian. But then he talks about, I'm the best at this, and I can do this, and I can destroy you, and I'm this, and I'm that. But he was like, at the end of it, he says, I thought you was a Christian. He was like, well, I am. But the Bible says that we shouldn't boast on our own strength. And Paul said that my weakness is where I thrive. That's my translation. But my weakness is where God works best. If you ever seen the movie Apostle Paul, if you haven't, it's a great movie. I love that movie. If you haven't seen it, Paul is walking with the governor. I can't think of his name right now, but he's walking with the governor of Rome at the time. And the Romans were very puffed up, you know, like, you a manly man, you strong, you courageous, you keep a sword on your hip, you all of this. And Paul's telling them, I boast only in my weakness. And he's like, what kind of man does that? What kind of man boasts in his weakness? Well, he says, well, I'm weak, Christ is strong. That's where we boast at, not in our talents, Not in, and that's hard for me. My godfather and my godmom can tell you. I'm a pretty confident little dude. When I was little, I would have told you that you can't guard me. And I'm like 8. That's who I was. But now it's changed because it's like God knew that I was like that. And he still works on me, but now I can't possibly say that I raised all that money on my own to be an FCA staff. I can't do it. I can't say that I walked right into Coach Loxie's office and was like, I'm the best chaplain you got. Put me on staff. It didn't work that way. I waited for 3 months until God decided it was the right time. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with you. But it has everything to do with God. All right, so think about that and the last thing. So this is my main point. It's very simple. Main point is simple, and it just says this. Trust God. He's proven himself time and time again through his word. You've seen it. We just looked at it. He's sovereign, meaning that he knows everything. Everything right now. I think it's a Keys for Kids. It's 150 billion stars or something like that. They were talking about that this week in devotions. And it says that he knows everyone by name. 150 billion stars? But then, not even the stars, but now let's just talk about people. He says he knows our hairs on our head individually. But we can't trust him for some money? Or a job? Or, you know, a house or whatever it is that we're trusting him for? The God who knows all the stars by name and the ones who knows when our hair falls out of my head that I don't even pay attention to, he's like, oh, that's Shep's hair right there. But we can't trust him for everything. Why is that? It should be easy. It's not. I'm not talking to y'all. I'm talking to me. It should be easy. He's done everything we need him to do. And he's not going to stop. The great thing is, he's not going to change. He's the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So this character that he has of being sovereign is everlasting. So we might change, but he won't. Okay, and the last thing, before we close, I'm short and brief. But you can't trust a God you don't know. So this part right here is from the people here who may not know who God is yet. Who say, I can't trust somebody I don't know. Right? If you're here and you have like, you're a researcher or anything like that, there's plenty of things to look. I just want you to read this Bible. Before you question, before you say, I don't believe in that, or it's this or that religion or whatever, just crack open the Bible and you'll read and find a God who's merciful. You'll find a God who loves you. You'll find a God who, despite how far away we stray, he still comes back for us every single time. You'll find a God that loves you enough to send a son to the cross to die for your sins because you couldn't pay it. You couldn't pay the penalty for sin. So he did it for you. I mean, everybody just think about that. We know the gospel, but that doesn't make sense. Why would anyone, do you know anyone that would do that? That, okay, I made something perfect. Someone else messed it up. They can't fix it, so I'm going to give up something of mine that's precious to me. Watch it die so that I could have you back, even though you would still sin and not care about what I just did. That's what God did. He made us perfect. We sinned. We couldn't fix it on our own. So he says, though you messed up my perfect creation, I'm the only one who can fix it again. You can't fix it. So let me go down and fix it. He came as a son, as Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, and did it for us. Walked a perfect life, didn't sin once, was tempted with everything. Walked faithfully all the way to the cross to die for our sins. So only to be buried and raised again on the third day. Now ascends to the right hand of the Father, defeating sin and death. So that now that relationship that was broken is now restored. I don't know anybody who would do something like that. My daughter has probably 2 or 3 chances before I'm just like, forget it, just leave it. I'm not gonna keep fixing this thing you break. We're just not gonna buy no more. But here's God. I mean, like literally just, we disrespectfully stomping on this thing. Just imagine that. Like something that can, like a fine china plate. Just, he makes it, okay, you get the plate, smash it on the ground. All right. put it back together. You smash it on the ground again, put it back together. Time and time again, this is who God is. If that's not love, if you can find that somewhere else, point me to it. Point me to that person or that God or that deity. Point me to that person. And by the way, my God is the one that's still living, still breathing. It's going to be here when everything else fades away. He's still going. He's still alive. If you don't believe me, stand in this. If you're here, stand right here after service. We'll line up and tell you about it in our lives individually. Everybody in here got one story that can tell you that that can't happen unless God was there. So how do you explain that? Let's talk about this church, Pastor Mac. Let's talk about this school, Sister Anika. Let's talk about the job, Pastor Dwayne. Let's talk about it. That is who God is. That's the gospel, I'm telling you. So if you are here and you questioning, you fighting, you frustrating, I advise you to surrender. Try that for me. Because me wrestling is, it's cool and all. But surrender at the cross, when you lay down your life, he picks it up. Come all who are weary. Lay your burdens on me. That's what he's telling you to do. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. He wants everything. All he wants you to do is lay it down and watch him carry you. We're the lamb that goes astray. He's the one that puts us on his back and carries us. But will you be willing to trust in that today? Willing to trust in that God who loves you and pursues you every single day, regardless of how you see him? That God wants you. That God knows your name already. He's ordained for you to be here today to hear this message preached of the gospel. Here it is. Here's your calling. It's up to you whether or not you respond today. I want you all to respond to understand who God is so you can feel that joy, that confidence that Gideon got once he heard that dream. Just like the movie, that confidence he got once he heard that speech from the coach. Never look back, won a state championship. You could be on the sideline, timid, shaking in your boots. You meet God, all of a sudden it's a new creation. The old has passed away now. You can be made new. And let me remind you, no matter what you've done in your life, no matter if you did something 5 minutes before you came to church or you did something when you were 1 year old, it doesn't matter. But no matter what it was or what it is, Jesus died for that. He died for it. And when you love him and you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, he now becomes your advocate. So when, because God is righteous, and sin is sin. He's not going to change. The wages of sin is death, and he's a righteous judge. But when you die, when you sin and things, and you know Jesus Christ, guess what he says? I die for that. I die for that. If you want that advocate, if you want peace, I mean, God just brings so much. Just as a testimony, name some things God brought to your life. Can somebody name, just shout them out. Peace. Anything else? Praise God. A job. Come on, y'all. It's a testimony time now. Y'all got to help me out. Protection. Healing. Internal security. Love. Love. Not just love that's conditional. I'm talking unconditional love. Long suffering. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Get excited. Keep going. Keep going. Mercy. Keep going. Your wife. Praise God. You're a good husband. Keep going. We got a church full of people in here. Everybody got something. A breath of fresh air. Unlimited love. Hope. Meditate on that. Meditate on it. There's somebody in here who needs all of that. And y'all declaring it so they can hear it. Because right now they don't have any hope. They don't have any love, no security, no peace, no job, no wife or husband. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added unto you. Let's pray. Lord, I'm again thankful to be here in the presence of you. And the good thing about your presence is we don't just have to be here to experience it. For those who love Christ Jesus and those who have accepted him and spoken with their mouth that he is Lord, have the Holy Spirit inside of them. And that means that your presence is with us no matter where we go, no matter what we do. We are walking around with a living, breathing spirit of Jesus Christ inside of us. That is amazing. That is a gift that will never, ever rust, fade, go away, get lost, none of that. That Holy Spirit is in us from here on out. I can call myself a child of the Most High God. He calls me friend. The God who is Alpha and Omega, the God who knows everything, the God who makes sure that this earth stays balanced from the stars to the grass, to the plates underneath, to everything. God knows that. And that's who is inside of us. That's who we serve, Lord. Thank you so much for your sovereignty. Thank you so much for knowing what's best for us. And for knowing us to the point where you usher us into our callings and usher us into your will in the most kind and gentle ways, like a loving shepherd. Keeping us in this pen, just go here, and then boom, here's success. Here's where you want us to be. And it's all for your glory, Lord. Thank you for your sovereignty. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Gideon. Because we've all been Gideon. We've all been here. We've all seen. We've all been afraid. We've all heard a calling that was too big for us. But sometimes we may not have answered it. So if someone's here pondering a question about a calling, Lord, I pray that you use someone around them, use the Holy Spirit, use the Bible, use the radio, use the TV, use whatever you have to do, wherever they are, use that so that they may hear a confident confirmation of what you called them to do. So now they can get up and go out and to begin to walk in your will, which is the best place to be for our lives. And to that person or people who are here who don't know God, I'm telling you, today is the day. It's an opportunity for you to be made new. For everything before today to be washed clean, and for you to be fresh, brand new, white as snow, pure and holy in the Lord of, in the God of the universe. That God who sees you as pure, sees you as a friend. If you desire that today, if you are here and you've never accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I would ask that you will boldly, regardless of whoever's looking, regardless of whoever's here, regardless of the moment, it's between you and God, I promise you, be bold in this moment. Don't let fear stop you from doing anything else. But if you feel something in there, if you feel that tingling of the heart, you feel something, your stomach is knots, check that. That might be the Holy Spirit. That might be God drawing you near, telling you, hey, today is the day. So if that's you, I ask that you slip up your hand. Nobody's looking. It's just you and God here. It's just you and God. That call is still open for whoever is there, who may be pondering, who may need time to think about it. It's still there. But the second one is for the believers, the ones who've already accepted Christ. This one is for those who may be struggling with a decision as far as calling. Lord, is this where am I supposed to be? It could be that. It could be, Lord, I hear you, but I'm scared. I'm afraid to step onto the water. The boat is a lot better. if any of those two represent you, the one who I don't know about my with faith in God too, I'm struggling with trusting you, or Lord, I hear the calling, but I'm just afraid. If any of those relate to you, just slip up your hand. Slip up your hand of any of those areas of your life. You feel as though you need God in. You need guidance for that. It could be any decision, anything. Seek the one who is sovereign. The good thing is we got someone that can help us. Someone that can answer those tough questions. Someone that can point you in a direction when we don't have the wisdom to do so. So if you have anything that's on your heart that God is saying, you don't know what to do. How do I handle this situation? Small or big? Lord, I thank you for this place, the people here, for those in the seats that may be thinking, pondering, going through whatever they're doing in those seats, Lord. Just praying that you bless them. For those who are afraid and fearful of the call in their lives, may they become very confident in you, knowing what you say, knowing your word, knowing that you don't make any mistakes, knowing that you're with them. For those who need help, Lord, I pray that they earnestly seek you, and when they do, that you answer, which you will. You tell us in your word to knock and the door will be answered. Amen. That's a great thing, that we can come to the Almighty God and knock and he answers our call. And for those who may be in a situation where you don't know, if you're doing what you're called to do, continue to seek God. Pray that they continue to seek you, Lord. Continue to seek you and find themselves around a multitude of counselors, as your word says, that can help them be who you call them to be, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.